Well, good morning. It's good to see you. Good to be here at Elim. See, I know where I am, too. I'm at Elim. I'm not going to make that mistake now, or maybe later, but now I won't. I miss you guys. Can I say that? I get up on Sunday mornings now, and I have a cup of coffee, and I just like run into the furniture, and I'm just trying to figure out where I'm supposed to be, and I go to church with Kathy, and that's always great, but I miss you guys. I miss preaching every week. So just praying for you. I'm glad to hear the transition was good and things are moving forward. So we pray for you guys and appreciate your prayers for us as well. You've been a blessing to us. I want to thank you. So many cards and just thoughts, particularly from my passing of my brother that occurred right as I was leaving. Kind of a surprise passing. So thank you for praying for us during that time of loss. And I also want to thank you that so many have sent notes of prayer for Love Hope. We're excited, and I'll talk a little bit about that at the end of in a few days from now. We're going to start a long journey to get to Africa with three stellar young women from this congregation. And we are so excited, and we invite you to pray. Thank you for your prayers, and ask you to continue to pray while we're there. Also, I want to thank you for your support, not only prayer support, but you have been so generous. It has been amazing. Whether it's fundraisers, whether it's drinking coffee or eating bread or other opportunities and people just giving money, that it's expensive to go. And thank you as a congregation for helping these young people raise funds. And any overage funds, we will take those with us, and we will find opportunities to bless and help our children, or else we will bring it back in order to support long term. We have already committed to over $20,000 that we have sent this year to this field in Zambia. We will be carrying with us $5,500 that has been raised for a well in Jalila, the community where our orphaned children are staying. We were there in October and realized that they were drinking from a pond down the hill, and came back and told some people, and an outpouring of love. And so we have the money to go and present to them money for a freshwater well to be drilled there in the community of Jalila. So we thank you. Your support has been so helpful, not only to get us there, and we're going to have a great time there, but also to sustain kids that are going to school, kids that have school uniforms and shoes and school supplies, and now a fresh water well because of just the hands of a few people that joined together and a few congregations that just want to be a blessing. So thank you. I really appreciate that, everyone that has given. Well, I'm supposed to preach, and now I'm going to preach for a few minutes, and you know what that means, right? That doesn't really mean anything. That's just what I'm supposed to say. We're not going to preach long. But I did find that there was a poll taken of Springdale, Arkansas, 16-year-olds. These are test answers, real answers from tests that were given to 16-year-olds. These are 16-year-old students. Hopefully you guys would fare better, but these are 16-year-old students in Springdale, Arkansas. What does the word benign mean? Answer, benign is what you be after you be eight. And Springdale's a pretty large city, too. I don't know what happened. Question, what is a terminal illness? Answer, it's when you get sick at the airport. Question, how can you delay milk turning sour? Answer, I guess just keep it in the cow. It works, I guess, for a while. Question, what happens to your body as you age? Answer, well, when you get old, so does your bowels, and so you get intercontinental. The last one. Question, name the four seasons. Answer, salt, pepper, mustard, and vinegar. Those are the four seasons. Lord, Lord help us. Well, we're going to talk today, surprise, surprise, at what we're going to talk about. We're not going to talk about Arkansas the rest of the time. We're going to talk about following Jesus. And surprise, I'm going to talk a little bit about mission. Is that okay? The passages that I've used, I've even worked these through here at Elam. But as I prepared, I just kept thinking, I want to go back and talk again. First of all, we were talking about following Jesus. And I want to talk about Jesus, the example. When we talk about in the evangelical churches about Jesus, most of what we talk about and think about is what Jesus has done for us. And this is a great truth. This does not discount that at all, that He took our sins to the cross. He died on behalf of our sinfulness. And for those that confess and believe on Him can find forgiveness and can find new life based on His work on the cross because of His death and resurrection. It's the centerpiece for the hope of the gospel. That is the good news. I do not deny that one little bit. But, however, sometimes we focus on that scriptural center, that theme, which is held together by the center of Jesus' death and resurrection. Sometimes we talk so much about the death of Jesus is that we forget that He lived. That He lived. And that Scripture actually talks about looking at how Jesus lived and then trying to live like Him. His death and resurrection, of course, provides forgiveness of sins and entry into the body of Christ. But it also, His life provides an example of how we're to live like Jesus. So in the Gospels, you'll find that Jesus is described as the light of the world. But did you also know in almost every Gospel, such as Matthew 5, it says, turns to us and says, you are the light of the world. So just as Jesus was a light and witness, we're called to be light and witness. In Hebrews 12, I love this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, getting right with God. But then listen to what it says. But then let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So it's not simply getting saved, but it's running a race, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. I like that. The pioneer and perfecter. What it means is Jesus has trailed and cut the way for us with His life, showing us how to put our feet, how to live our lives, how to live in accordance to how He wants us to live. And so I just wanted to say first, the first blank there is that Jesus set the example for personhood. He set the example for personhood. Here's what I mean by that. Following Jesus makes us a real person. Following Jesus makes us a real person designed and fulfilled in the way that God designed us. That's how I mean that. He shows us how we really should live. If you want to experience really what it's like to be really human, the way God created us, then we need to follow the example of Jesus. You see, in Genesis 1, it says that we are created in the image of God. But then in Genesis 3, we disobeyed. And we started living in ways that betray that image, that doesn't look like Christ. But in Jesus, He shows us how to restore that image, to reflect the glory of God. So Jesus shows us what being human is supposed to look like. Being human and being restored into that image so that people can see the glory of God in us through our actions. So Jesus set the example for what it means for personhood, for what it means to be a whole person. And then secondly, Jesus set the example for serving others. Jesus set the example for serving others. In passage after passage, Jesus shows that reflecting the glory of God means that we serve others. Living in the heart of the Father is reflected by servanthood. What it means to follow Jesus is to do and be the things Jesus was doing, which means giving and serving and living a life of blessing to others. There's a story in Mark 9 that the disciples were having a side discussion about who was going to be the greatest. they were tussling about who was the first, the premier disciple. And Jesus turns around and says, "What are you talking about?" And you probably got this deer in the headlights look. Like, you ever had those conversations when you turn around? Oh, you know, and you find out they're talking about you because you're like, "What are you talking about?" "Oh, nothing." Well, I've got a feeling that's what the disciples did. Jesus says, "What are you talking about?" "Oh, nothing. That fish was really good, you know. That's all we were saying." But it says in Mark 9, it says they kept quiet because on the way they were having an argument about who was the greatest. So sitting down, Jesus, knowing what was going on, called the 12 and he says, "Anyone who wants to be first and the greatest must be the very last and become the servant of all." You see? So Jesus set the example for serving others and he calls those that really want to follow him to a life of service. Not scrambling and scratching for the top position, but willing to turn loose and lose your life for the sake of others. Now, you say, "Now we read Luke 4, which is the temptation of Jesus. What does all that have to do with this?" Well, that's a good question. I'm anxious to see how I'm going to bring this together. But here's what I intend, is that the temptation of Jesus was a temptation to try to get Jesus off track of a life of servanthood. Let me just rehearse what you just heard. The devil comes, tempts him when he's in the desert, and asks him a few things. "If you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." In other words, you should not go hungry, you King of Kings. You just need to just make bread for yourself. And then Jesus quotes Scripture. And then the second time, he takes him up and says, "Look at all the kings of this world. If you're the Son of God, this is what you deserve. So just worship me, and I'll hand it over to you." And Jesus says, "No," and quotes Scripture. And then the third thing, he stands him up on the high temple, and he says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down." And see, the devil, which is interesting, the devil catches on by this point. Then the devil quotes an Old Testament Scripture. Okay, maybe I'll best him with my Scripture memorization, you know. And talks about, "Oh, if you'll just throw yourself down from the temple and the angels will come and just pick you up." And Jesus said, "Don't put the Lord your God to the test." And it says, then when the devil had finished, he left him to an opportune time. You see, there are several things we learn because this whole episode is really intriguing because Jesus comes to be a servant, but the devil is tempting him to feed himself. Take authority. Be the king now. Get the kingdom now. Let angels serve you now. Do a magic show and you shouldn't go hungry. Just eat bread. Make all the bread you want and eat it now. And Jesus had to resist that temptation. So let's talk a little bit about what we can learn from just this episode. The first thing is that you must live in the power of the Spirit. You must live in the power of the Spirit. Did you notice in Luke 4:1 says Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, and then the very next verse that we didn't read at the end of this, it says that he goes on to Nazareth full of the Holy Spirit. So this passage is bookend by noting that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. You see, following Jesus means being led by the Spirit. Following Jesus does not mean, "Oh, I prayed a prayer 23 years ago, so I'm good." You know, following Jesus is following Jesus. It means, of course, our spiritual life starts at a point in time when we confess Him as Lord of our life, but it means getting up and moving with Jesus. It means following the Spirit. It means listening to what He is saying and doing in you and in your church. And also, if you're going to come against the devil's temptation, you need to be full of the Spirit so you can figure out the twists and turns that the devil would try to have you to take. But Jesus, you see, teaches us that it's not so much about praying a prayer and saying, "I'm good to go to heaven." It's about following Him. And in order to do that, you must live in the power of the Spirit. You must be prayed up. You must be listening. You must be eager to just let the Spirit use you the same way that Jesus was empowered with the Spirit. The second thing is that you must be clearly focused on your mission. You must be clearly focused on your mission. How many of you know that this world, you go to work on Monday morning, and man, they've got a lot of agendas for you. You know, people've got a lot of agendas for your life. And sometimes they're not God's best for you. But Jesus was clearly focused on what he was doing. The same way we have to put the kingdom in front of everything we're doing, whether it's work or school or home. It all is summed up by just trying to live for the glory of God. That we have to be clearly focused on our mission. You see, the devil, and I think I've said this here before, that in the Greek, when it says, if you are the Son of God, that could be translated since. I've got a feeling that the devil wasn't having an identity. He didn't know that Jesus wasn't. I think it better is translated, since you are the Son. What he was tempting him was tempting him to pride. You're the Son of God. Why are you going hungry? You shouldn't go hungry. Make bread for yourself. Since you're the Son of God, not if, I don't think it's probably if, like I don't know, maybe you are, maybe you aren't. I think it's since you're the Son of God, you should have all these kingdoms. Since you're the Son of God, throw yourself down and let the angels attend to you. He was attempting to get Jesus off the mission of service. You see, Jesus came to serve, even to the point of the cross. It was a question of what kind of Messiah was Jesus going to be. Was he going to bypass the cross and just say, you're right, I'm the Son of God, I'm the King? Or was he willing to come to serve? You see, the devil does the same thing for us. Tries to grab our pride, grab our agendas, make it all about us and less about serving others. But Jesus came to be a servant, and he would not be moved from that mission, and I pray that we would not be as well. The next thing is that you have to resist the temptation of the devil. You have to resist it. It says that he left Jesus until he had an opportune time. That means that Jesus, I think at the Garden of Gethsemane was another time when that Jesus was under the pressure of what kind of Messiah was he going to be? What kind of servant was he going to be? And the devil keeps coming at us. Matter of fact, there's a couple of lions. There's a lion of the tribe of Judah, but also the devil is called what? A roaring lion, seeking to devour whoever he can find. And so it's real that you need to understand that he appeals to our pride. I've seen so many people just miss the kingdom and the work that God calls because they feel like they're above the rules. Or that, you know, the pride comes before a fall, and it allows them, their hearts, to feel like I'm supposed to be served instead of serving. And so you have to resist the devil and his temptation. The last thing that we should mention is that you need to respond with compassion and action to those in need. Compassion and action to those in need. You see, Jesus, by pushing back the temptation of the devil, was saying that I'm going to live in service. I'm going to live in compassion. And not just compassion. The reason I put them both here is that some people have compassion, and compassion could be something as simple as, ah. And then you sit there on TV and go, oh, isn't that too bad? Now, that's a very weak form of compassion. And then what Jesus calls to in following Jesus is compassion and action. Where we can, is help. And so Jesus is defining himself not as the king now that's to be served by the angels and have all the bread that he wants and all the kingdoms lined up behind him that the devil gives to him. But instead, he's going to live his life by compassion and action. The reason we know that is he goes on in Luke 4. We didn't read this, but I'm going to read it real quickly. And this is one of the clearest definitions of the servant mind of Jesus. Listen to what he goes on and says in Luke 4, and this is verses 14 and following. Luke 4, 14 and following. It says, then Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. So he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. His very custom is they had someone sitting there that was literate and they thought was a teacher, they'd hand them a scroll. So they give him the scroll, and the scroll of Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found this place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, listen to what he says, to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And then he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." He pulled a very particular passage out of Isaiah to talk about the role of the would-be Messiah. And the Messiah was going to come and was going to work for the poor. He was going to preach to those that were that needed sight. He was going to work for the freedom of the oppressed. That would bring about the year of Jubilee when all the downtrodden would be lifted up again. And then he says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now, later on, that gets him in trouble. But you see, Jesus was very definitely saying, "This is my mission. My mission on this first coming is not to be the king and have all the bread and all the glory." You know, the resurrection will provide that, and the second coming will provide that. But my mission now is to serve. And in passage after passage, when it's linked to service, take up your cross and follow me, it's always a call to service. Following Jesus means not just praying a prayer, but it means getting up and following him with your life. Question: are you living your life in the light of the example of Jesus? Are you being a blessing to someone around you? I want to take the next 4 or 5 minutes. Mike asked if I want to just give an update on what we're going to be doing while we're in Zambia. And I'm always very careful, because when I do this, I don't want to leave the impression as that one day I'll go to Zambia and then I can serve. That's not what we're talking about. Service happens in church. It opens at home. It happens in your community. It just so happens we're going to Africa. But you understand what I'm saying? You don't have to be a missionary in Africa to serve. But this is an example of what we're getting to do. And I'm so glad that these young ladies from Elam and others, two other girls from Harvest, are joining us. My wife is going. It's going to be a great blessing. She's never been to Zambia with me. But we've got a couple of slides just so I can just kind of rehearse and get an idea of what we're going to be doing. So this is the kids in Jalila. One of the first things that we will do when we get there on Sunday is that we will go up the dancing road. That's what we've named it, because we do a little jig in the road for about 45 minutes getting up there. So we'll go way up into the mountains. And these are mostly, all of them are orphans. These are the kids that we provide school uniforms and shoes and blankets and tuition. Zizi, we provided that wheelchair. Zizi, as a matter of fact, I think I've talked about her before. She has moved from Jalila only because she passed her exams of 7th grade to get into 8th grade, which is rare. She's so bright. She's moved with her uncle so that she can continue on into high school. And she had dropped out of school before we provided her funds for her. And so we're really proud of Zizi. We don't know if we'll get to see her or not. The rest of these kids, you see that someone's got books and shoes, and they had just, it's the newest group of supplies that we've got for them. Pastor Pathwell's on the backside over there waiting. So that's a group of kids in Julia. So we're going to go up. We're going to have service with them. We're going to talk with them. We've got a little bag for each one of them. It's got some other supplies with them. And then there's going to be a lot of African dancing, because then we're going to hand them, or at least inform them, that we have enough money to drill a freshwater well right there by the church, between the church and the school. I'm not even sure they know that it's coming, but the leadership does. So we're so excited to be able to do that. And then these young ladies, let's see the next slide. They're going to be specialists. They're going to be kids specialists, too. This is a great group. They know thumbs up. I taught them that. But this is a group of a couple of mamas. But these are the kids of the Bible College. Around the Bible College, there's about 40 to 50 kids. That part of them are students from the Bible College families. And so we're going to be doing like a BBS with them. And not only that, but just playing with them. They live just 100 yards up from where we'll be staying, so we will have lots of opportunities to play with these kids. And then the next group is at the high school. This is from October. I just happened to show up, and they were doing an installation of new leaders from Scripture Union. And so I walked in, and they're like, "Great, would you like to speak for our installation of our..." Of course I would. And so I got to speak, and then they turned around and sang for me. So I actually have a little video of this. I would put this choir, this is called the Jesus Followers Choir, I would put this choir up against most university chorales. They literally raised the roof off of that place. So anyway, we're going to go to, this is the Jimbo High School, about 200 to 300 high school students, and we're going to be doing at least 3 sessions of teaching and praying. And they love it when students come because they just love to ask questions about America, and the kids will have a great time. And then the next one is, this is the first grade class of Jimbo Elementary School. They have pencils. Remember the pencil drive at United Township? Well, my basement is almost empty now after this trip. We packed 2,400 more pencils and erasers to go again. We'll be going to Jalila with them. We'll be going to Jimbo. We'll be going to the Bible College and probably one other place that we'll distribute pencils. I think I told you the reason we learned that was an issue was that they usually sit around tables with 6 to 8 kids at each table, and we saw most of the time they had a pencil in the middle of the table. And when the teacher would write something on the board, one of them would write it and set it down. The next one would grab it, write it, and set it down. So to have a pencil to take home was such a blessing to them. So we got pencils. We got a couple of suitcases of pencils there. And then the next one is, this is Memory. Talked to Memory just last week. She's doing very, very, very well. Thank you for praying for her. Matter of fact, from some of your help in this congregation, we were able to help her get back into college. She's a junior, and so we paid for her school bill, and we have more money that people have given that we're going to... We try not to just hand money indiscriminately, but we're going to pay for her school bill again while we're there so that she doesn't have to worry about that. And she's in her third year of becoming a bachelor's degree for becoming a teacher. And she's doing so well. Thank you for praying. We thought we were going to lose her just, I think it was in January, but she's doing extremely well. So thank you. And then the last group is a Motley Crue. Oh, it didn't make it up there. So it's the picture that's on your thing. Didn't know if that was up there or not. Look at this great-looking stellar group. Let me just tell you real quick who that is. That's Sean and Jeanette Wilkinson there in the back. They're going with us. Sean and Jeanette has been here at Elam a couple of times, and they're attending Harvest. Sean and Jeanette have been there 3 or 4 times before, and so there will be a real asset to us. The girl there in the middle is Carly Kaiser. She attends Harvest, and she has been going to Scott Community College. Avery Malgram, the gal that's standing beside the real good-looking dude in the back, that's Avery. Avery's a really great young lady. She's a junior at Indiana Wesleyan University. Then there again is the good-looking dude with the Love Hope shirt. The really, really great-looking young lady on the left is my wife, and she's going with us. We're so excited. We're looking for a screaming extravaganza over the spiders. I cannot wait to see how this is going to work. I told her, honey, they don't bother. I made a pact with the spiders there in the mission house that as long as I stay off the wall, they'll stay out of my bed, and I've never had an issue. I don't crawl up on the wall, so they just stay out of my bed, and I tell her it'll be fine. But she's looking forward to going. And then you know Leah. We're so glad. Leah is the baby of the group. So she will, she will get teased mercilessly. But we're really glad Leah is going. And then you know Martha Peterson. Martha attends Carthage and has been a part of really Love Hope stuff that we've been doing locally really ever since it started. I remember sitting around with a napkin with Martha and a couple of other kids and drawing up ideas of what we wanted to do with Love Hope. And so she's been a part of it, and so she's going. She's going to be a real asset. And we're also glad that Rayanne is going. And Rayanne attends Northern Illinois, Northern, University of Northern Illinois. I always drive her crazy because I can't figure out if it's UNI or INU or NIU or it's just Iowa. She goes to Iowa. Northern Iowa University. But you know, see what they're going to have to put up with? But Rayanne is, she's in Spanish education, which she's going to use a lot over there. But she's also helped with Love Hope and the kids love her, so she's just going to do really, really, really well. So we're just glad. Thank you for your prayers. Again, we're going to serve in this capacity. Thank you for all your help. But every one of us, you don't have to go to Africa to make a difference. Just follow Jesus. And I've found that if you're open to the Spirit and if you're open to the heart of Christ, you will find ways to serve. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your love and your grace. And thank you that we don't have to look hard to find opportunities to use our voices, our hands, our feet for your glory. They're all around us. And it's a privilege to serve. It's just such a privilege to serve. Not only that you've saved us, you've redeemed us, but you give us a meaning and purpose, things to do with our hands and feet and to be a witness for you. And so I pray for every person here that you would help us to just get a vision for how we can make a difference in our little home, our school, our community, wherever you called us to. Help us to follow Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.